The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing and a good Friday in prospect as well. It's day one of the open meeting at Cheltenham. We've also got Lingfield and Newcastle in the afternoon. Wolverhampton and Dundalk will provide the action on the all-weather in the evening. Gary Capewell, John Budden and Mark Slater will be our team in the studio, and they're live from the earlier start time of 11:45 a.m. Set those alarm clocks for Friday's action. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. What a hell indeed. And God blimey, the blood is just rushing around the body with excitement for these 3 days that are coming up at Cheltenham. This is really the national hunt season now, flat out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff.
It's great stuff. The next 3 days at Prestbury Park are, well, they're fantastic, to be honest.
For many, these are better days than the festival.
It's easy to get around Cheltenham than the festival, yeah.
Well, I think there's from what people have told me, and I've not been fortunate to be able to get to this meeting, but the atmosphere is unbelievable. Yeah. The racing is second to none. And like you say, you can get here, there and everywhere without being too bustled. But you've still got that fantastic atmosphere and buzz. So, 3 days of great racing to look forward to.
It is, yeah. It's good stuff. We're going to look ahead to the first day on this edition of the podcast. We're also going to take a little bit of a look at the big race on Saturday as well. But before we get to that, a bit of injury news. Saïd Agrougi is possibly going to miss the whole season. I hope he won't, but he definitely will miss his engagement on Sunday in the Schlur Chase. It might not be too bad, Pimmy.
Well, it just shows how fickle this game is, you know what I mean? He's three days away from his race course reappearance for the season, and he goes wrong. Not a great deal of information regarding the injury in the paper, but the thing that I'm quite relieved at, it that it's a hind leg rather than a foreleg, so it's not a tendon as such. So that's good news. It could have pulled a muscle,
yeah.
Could have just given it a knock. I mean, we're just speculating, really, because there's no clear information regarding the injury. But yeah, it's a setback. We certainly don't want him out for the season, because if we take him out the equation for the 2 mile chases,
yeah,
and if Sprinter Sacra doesn't come back to his best, then it does actually leave that 2 mile chase championship wide open for me.
There'll be
a new kid on the block possibly to come and steal that Queen Mother Champion Chase crown come March of 2015. So interesting stuff, but fingers crossed that it's not season threatening anyway.
Yeah, because if we can get him fit and we can get Sprinter Sacra back at the end of the season, and anything else that improves this year, it means that the 2 mile division will be really interesting, won't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. But they never cease to amaze me, these horses, you know what I mean? You just nurse them and try and keep them in one piece, and then this goes, you know?
Yeah.
And again, that's the other thing that you need to, when these horses are racing and when they're winning, you really need to enjoy, soak up every bit of atmosphere and joy, because it can be very much short-lived.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I've got a bit of an update here, Pimmy. He's going to have a scan next week to determine the full extent of the injury. Gary Moore, who's his trainer, was happier with him on Thursday morning than he was Wednesday, and apparently he's bearing weight on the leg. And he's comfortable, so it might not be too bad, hopefully.
It hopefully doesn't sound as if it's season-threatening, does it?
No, hopefully not. But that does open up the Schlur Chase, should Usyk Zandra end up going to the race. He was in the Paddy Power, he's not anymore.
No.
So that'd be interesting to see him there.
Will be interesting. Schlur. Yeah. I often schlur my words after a few little glasses of Pinot Grigio, but yeah. That's another story. But yeah, I thought, you know, he badly missed the cheap pieces at Aintree last time out.
Yeah.
For me, it looked like a race that was a stepping stone for something bigger.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
And this looks definitely like his big opportunity coming up. Mm. I bet the cheap pieces are on at the weekend.
I would imagine so, yes.
Yeah.
With the Gold
That's Cup, what you lads might need when you get down to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Cheap pieces on.
Cheap pieces, yeah. Just keep us straight.
Keep you on the straight and narrow, yeah. Exactly. So you don't schlur off it.
Let's look at the Paddy Power Gold Cup then. Present View is the 5-1 market leader, has been at the top of the betting for a while now. Bywise 6-1, John Spirit 8s, 10-1 for Oscar Whiskey, 11s for Indian Castle, At a Glance 14s, Cadbury, Easter Meteor and Eric and Persian Snow and Champalus all 14s as well, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Present View has form with Bywise and At a Glance from the festival last year, Pimmy. Present View winning that race. And then you got last year's winner, John Spirit, in the mix. Oscar Whiskey's very interesting over fences over 2.5 miles. And it's a good race, isn't it?
Absolutely brilliant race, as you'd imagine you would do for the Paddy Power. I think the favourite's a worthy favourite. Got all the ticks in the boxes, got the form around Cheltenham, was a ready winner there at the festival last year. I thought he ran a great race in defeat first time out this season over hurdles. He's prime for this race, and I certainly think he's a worthy favourite. As you quite rightly said, Oscar Whiskey could be the interesting one. I'm not so sure he's achieved all he can achieve over fences as of yet. And again, I'm not sure about the trip. You think it's ideal. I think he might just find it on the short side. But who knows? He's sure to go there with a big, big chance and give a good account of himself, hopefully. But there's plenty in there that you can make a case for, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll go into that in more detail on tomorrow's podcast, no doubt. Should we get concentrating on Friday, Pimmy?
Well, you've set me an easy task, actually, in this 150 at Cheltenham tomorrow, the Paddy Power Handicap Chase. 2 miles the trip. Unfortunately, there's only 20 of them going to post.
Yeah, I thought I'd throw a nice easy one in there for you.
Yeah,
Pimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've definitely sent me down a googly here, that is for sure. Wide open race. Again, you look through the form of these horses. There's definitely, you know, a case to be made for all 20 of them, really. Mm. Very, very competitive. They've got to bet 5-6-1 the field, surely to goodness, in this.
You'd imagine so, yeah.
Because it's so wide open. Couple that I'd chuck in the mix, I think, obviously, Anquetta's interest in the Henderson-Whaley-Cohen combination that ran well in defeat last time out behind Bertie Baru. Only beaten the neck, so I thought that was quite a good enough run. I thought the French named horse, can't pronounce it actually, Unmeter Alumes.
Yeah, probably something like that. Unmeter Alumes.
Yeah, well, to make it easier, number 13.
Yeah, the Victor Dartnell horse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But certainly interesting as well. He ran well enough, I thought, behind Abel Deputy at Fakenham last time out. Obviously, he has to up his game, but he was a tough, consistent sort last season. And I thought Hollow Blue Sky's interesting with only 10-2 from the Twist and Davis Yard. Mm. He's jumped around here on a number of occasions. And again, he looks nicely weighted with that 10-2. So 3 to put in the mix, but really and truly, it's for me would be tread carefully and just enjoy a very competitive race.
Yeah, it's one of those races where you have a small stake and maybe try and find out a nice price and
yeah, look for a bit of value.
Yeah,
look for a bit of value.
Could I narrow you down to one in there, Pimmy?
If you want me to go down to one, I'd go for the Twist and Davis horse, Hollow Blue Sky.
Okay. Hollow Blue Sky there, then. On to the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham next. This is the Neptune Investment Management Novices Hurdle, registered as the Hyde Novices Hurdle. It's a grade 2 over 2.5 miles. Only 7 of them to pick from this time, Pimmy, so that makes it a little bit easier. And Black Lion is a very interesting young hurdler. He's unbeaten under rules and in the same ownership as the new one. They know how to pick one by the looks of things.
They do indeed, yeah. He's just a nice young horse. He's a 5-year-old. He's done absolutely nothing wrong in his career. He was a readied winner of a grade 2 at Chepstow back in October.
Yeah, the Persian War.
When he beat Vicente, and he did that in good fashion. And again, lots of ticks in the boxes for him, that is for sure. Then you've got, I thought Parlour Games was interesting. He ran really well in defeat, I thought, last time out in that listed novices hurdle at Kempton behind Blue Heron. I thought there was plenty to like about that run. And obviously you've got Champagne Present, who finished second last time we saw him at Aintree in a 2.5 mile novices hurdle. And again, there could be a little bit more to come in from him. Just got caught close home by Chikira that time, so there could be a little bit more from Champagne Present as well. But just 7 of them going to post, but a very interesting 7. But I think Blakon can continue unbeaten this season.
Black Lion.
Or even Black Lion.
Yeah. Okay. Black Lion, the selection in the 3 o'clock then. And the 3:35 at Cheltenham is where we finished the Glenn Farclas Cross Country Chase.
I just like to call it the Cross Country Chase.
Yeah,
it's easier.
It makes it easier, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Anyway, it's over 3 miles and 7 furlongs. And we've got the winner from the last 3 years, or the winners from the last 3 years. Balzac King won it last year. Uncle Junior won it the 2 years prior to that, Pimmy. And they're both in the lineup again. Do you see it between those two?
Often it is a race where, you know, if you've got experience over this cross-country course, then it does hold you in good stead, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah, Balthazar King and Uncle Junior are very, very interesting. I'm surprised there's not more stood the ground, actually, with only 8 of them going to post. I thought there might have been a few more than that, but it has cut up a little bit. On official ratings, Balthazar King's thrown in, really, isn't he? He's a mark of 153. His nearest pursuer is 144 with Carruthers, who obviously lost his way a little bit, but yeah, this just might suit him. Might just enjoy it. The turns, the twists, the different types of jump could rekindle a bit of the old flame for him, and reports in the paper say that he's in good form with himself, so be good to see if he could bounce sort of back. Sire Collonge is interesting. He supports the blinkers for the first time tomorrow. That could, again, bolster his confidence and get him to put his best foot forward, because again, on official ratings of 142, he'd be interesting. And then there's Rare Bob right down at the bottom, who slightly disappointed of late, but again, he might just take to the fences and enjoy it round there as well. So there's plenty to get in the mix, but I think Balthazar King has been primed for this race. We know he loves it, and I think he's going to be difficult to oppose, but more than likely he'll go a favourite.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Balthazar King. I back him in all the cross country races around Cheltenham and stuff like that. He's always going to be there or thereabouts for you. You know?
Oh, yeah. You know you're going to get a run for your money. You know he loves it. You know it's the sort of track that suits him. And again, the conditions of the race actually suit him as well. Because whereas he would normally be giving weight away to a lot of these, they're running off levels with a lot of them, you know. So that's a big bonus for Balthazar King as well. But I enjoy it. It's not everybody's cup of tea, this race, but I do enjoy it, and I think it does suit certain horses.
Yeah, I agree. Good stuff, Pimmy. Let's have a quick summary then, if you don't mind, before you go.
Yeah, well, we're going to try and unravel that trappy 20-runner 2-mile handicap chase, and we've gone in this favour of number 17, Hollow Blue Sky, in the Novices Hurdle Grade 2 event at 3 o'clock. We're going to go for Black Lion, and the 3:35, it's the cross-country chase. We're going to go for the top weight, and an old favourite of mine, Balthazar King.
Good stuff, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
We will indeed.
So there you go. The thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it here on Racing Radio from 11:45 a.m. Do set those alarm clocks. Gary Capewell, John Budden and Mark Slater will be here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, no doubt. We have the first day of the open meeting at Cheltenham. There's also Lingfield and Newcastle in the afternoon, and Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.